Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of South Haven Business Beat, where we sit down with business owners, entrepreneurs, and people from the community and just learn more about their story and just values that they have that they can share with you to be able to do business better. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of sitting down with Miss Brooke Benedict, the catering director at McAllister's here in South Haven. Brooke, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad to be here.
So I was truly inspired by your story, the fact that you have been in a company for as long as you have. People nowadays, they job hop. They are always, even 3 years is a long time to be in a position to some degree. People are looking for that next opportunity, that next big move. How long have you been with McAllister's?
So I have been with McAllister's. I started in South Haven at 15 years old. So I'm going on a little over 20 years with McAllister's as a whole. So I've been there a long, long, long time.
And are you still just working the front counter? What do you do now?
Oh, no. So I started when I was 15. I worked in the customer service part of things. So I was the face everybody saw in the front of house and took orders and waited tables and talked to guests. Some of the same people still come in McAllister's today and see me, so it's kind of fun. But now I've worked my way up. So I've been a shift leader. I have been an assistant manager. I've been a general manager. I've been an area director. And now I am doing what I love the most, which is being a catering director. And it is more of just talking to guests and just getting to know a lot of people. So I get to be the face and get to go talk to everybody. And
love
it's a good
that.
Position. Yep.
So taking it back to 15-year-old Brooke, when she got started at McAllister's, did she have any clue of what her job was going to be and that she was going to be here today?
Oh, no. So funny story. So I was a cheerleader at 15 and very bougie. Very bougie is like our mom like to say. And so when I started at McAllister's, my mom was like, you're never going to be in restaurants really long because this is just not you. You're not going to do this. And I got sucked in and I'm just a restaurant person now. So I did not think I would be in the restaurant world. And then every position that got open, I got asked to move up the ladder. And I, of course, said yes. I may have failed a couple times and cried because I don't think I was ready. But then when I was, they just kept giving me chance after chance because they saw my passion and my drive for what I do and the people. And so when people ask for you all the time, it's like, where's Brooke? Where's Brooke? Brooke's not here today.
So do you think that's what helped you to stand out and what they saw in you to lead you into those opportunities?
Yes, I think just being a people person. And I think people work for people. People don't work for companies.
Absolutely.
So if you were a good person, people feel that. And that's what I feel like. And I have a very much of a serving heart outside of work. So I serve at my church. I serve on junior auxiliary board. I serve a lot of places. So I like to serve guests and make people happy. So
absolutely. Yep. So using those skills and those things that you've put into your life as far as having that servant leadership, what would you say is the most pivotal moment in your career starting out that made you realize this is where I'm going to stay? This is really something.
So I don't know if it was one particular thing or maybe it was. I had a big change in my life. I lost a loved one and McAllister's gave me a lot of time off to figure that out. And they paid a lot of my bills up front. So in that, it was like eye opening because they were like serving back like what I'd given to them. So I was like, man, this is where I'm going to stay because that was not a ask. That was not a, hey, help me out. It was just like, nope, take all the time off you need. We're going to take care of things and you come back to whatever you want to come back to. So I think that was a big eye opener for me to stay with the same company as long as I have.
Yeah, that's very bought huge. In.
Yep.
That really leads into this is the place I need to be because they're serving me the way I serve others.
Yes, absolutely.
And they were the people that you needed. I love that. That's incredible. at the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to create more opportunities for our members and community to share their story. And this podcast is just one of many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't make it happen without Pure Focus Media, the creative team behind the scenes helping make us and a lot of local businesses to look and sound their best. Pure Focus Media is on a mission to make high-quality video and content creation accessible to businesses of all sizes. From strategy to production, they help tell your story, attract more leads, and grow through the power of video. If you're ready to level up your brand, you need to visit purefocus.media and schedule your strategy call today. So what do you think that leaders in general, what do they need to focus on developing that employers are going to be looking for? Like, what core values did you really hone in on when you were trying to stand out amongst the others in the company?
I think just integrity, and just if you say you're going to do something, you got to do it. And people follow up, you know, that's the biggest part of a leadership. You want to go follow up to see what people are doing. But if you have somebody that's really like passionate about what they do and they want to make you happy because they see what you're doing, right? That's the biggest thing. Like, I'm not going to go ask somebody to do something that I wouldn't do. And they know that. So I think that's the biggest key is working with your team, not just always pointing the finger and saying, do this, do this, do this. Mm-hmm. We always say, like, put in your emotional bank account with your team members. So know what's going on with their life, right? If they come in and Susie is not having a great day, and Susie has a great day every day, then something's probably wrong with Susie. Maybe have a little small chat with her, sit down, have lunch, and they're going to open up to you. So I think that's the biggest thing.
Awesome. Yeah. Have you seen any over the last few years that you're like, this is going to be one that I'm going to see when I'm on my way to retire?
Oh, yeah. There's quite a bit. So there maybe 10 of us, maybe 12 of us that are left that were from the start of things. So we're still with the company. And then there's a couple that there's a couple that are very young right now. And bougie Brook is what I like to say. They're like a little bougie Brook. And I'm like, you never know. Restaurants might be your life, you know, because they're so good at serving guests and people like want to come see them and want to like, when do they work?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to build them up. And I have people under me. So I have catering coordinators that are under me at every single store. So they kind of direct towards me. So I kind of help grow them and build them. And so.
How many stores do you have under you that you are servicing?
So I have a little over 40 as the catering director. Ooh. But I have something called my primary stores, which are my focus stores. I'm very close to those stores, so I can go there daily. I can see what they're doing. I can spend time with the person that's taking all the catering orders. And then I have a support market. So my support market goes as far as Knoxville, Chattanooga, Virginia. So they're far out. So I do have more stores than are just in my corner here.
Okay.
So big widespread. So I do visit them every, my further out stores. I do visit them every quarter. I try to, and spend a week there. So either I drive or fly and go spend time training that person. That's the catering coordinator, the face that everybody sees at the deli. So
when you're going out there and you're sitting down with these different leaders, mm-hmm. what sort of things are you coaching and developing in them?
So since I just handled the catering department, we just talk about catering orders. So like from the time they talk to somebody with placing a catering order, from the time they box it all up, from the time they deliver it, they're setting it up, they're talking to the guest, ensuring everything's right. And then the follow-up piece when they get back. So I'll actually ride with them and we'll go out and actually do all the catering drops together, set it up, tell somebody thank you for ordering, and just try to coach them on that part of the business, the people part of the business. Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people miss. Like, you know, you can order through third parties now. So sometimes we're not the ones taking the orders. So we really strive on getting people to order from us because we're going to be the ones that you're going to see when we deliver the food. So really building those relationships with that customer and that guest, because then they're going to refer you to somebody else or even continue to order.
Yeah. So having that third party makes it, it definitely makes it difficult to build those relationships that set you apart. And even beyond that, everybody has a certain way of what they want, certain details of things that they want. Mm-hmm. And you can't convey that through a computer system.
No.
And you can't add that personal touch from a business side. Nope. That'll set that apart, because you're just one of 15 other places they can order from. And unless you have that personal connection, you're just going to stay one of 15 places they can order from.
Yeah. So a lot of people that are ordering through third parties, like, and it's still helping our sales, right? It's still a piece of our sales. It's convenient for them. So a lot of places I just get on a computer and order, and that's how they like things. And but I'm very personable. So I try to go out door to door and actually build catering sales that way. So a lot of people, I think, are a little scared after COVID to do the face to face sales. But you have to go. You have to get out there, because if you talk to people and build your relationships, that's how you grow your business.
Yes.
That's how you grow your sales.
And you and all of your peoples that go around with the little cookie coupons.
Yeah.
You make lots of friends.
Yes. Hey, you get lucky enough, sometimes we take real cookies out marketing. So.
Okay. That hasn't happened. I know. Y'all showed We're up gonna... here with cookie coupons.
I'm going to have to bring you some real cookies.
Yet. You're holding out on
me. I'm holding out on you.
But that being said, guys, I've got cookie coupons here. All the time. So if you come by, come get a coupon, and then you go see Brooke for lunch.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I want to go back into just kind of a business look at things. So tell me about maybe a piece of criticism or a difficult moment business-wise that grew you and really changed you for a positive.
So shocking. I left McAllister's for 8 months. Everybody knows that. I got a job opportunity, a different restaurant concept, and I was young. I was like maybe 22, maybe 23. And the grass is not always greener on the other side. Okay. And my owner, boss at the time, we talked about it, and he was like, man, I really don't want to lose you, but if this is what you want to do, then this is what you got to do. You know, you got to grow. And so I left and went to this other restaurant concept for 8 months, a full service restaurant. And I probably cried every day after shift. It was very rough. It was very different. It wasn't a family like McAllister's is. It wasn't personable. You know, when you start in a different business, you have to work your way up the ladder again, right? But the money was great. The bonus was great. I was there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I had my first child then. So 8 months later, you know, towards the end, I think every month my owner boss called every month and was like, hey, how's it going? And I would tell a white lie and say, it is wonderful. I just love it. I'm having the best time. The money's great. The people. And finally, towards the eight months, he called me and I just lost it, you know, totally cried on him. And he's just like, Brooke, take a deep breath. And I'm like, I got to come back. Like, this is not for me. You know, they didn't care about their people as much as McAllister's did. And he told me I could come back and take whatever store I wanted to take. So actually, that was probably the biggest moment for me. Like, oh, they're going to take me back. I just left for 8 months. You know, I left on good terms. You know, they didn't want to see me go. But I came back and I took over the South Haven store. So I was the GM at South Haven after that. They let me take a store over as soon as I came back.
Awesome.
Yep.
I love it. So they were like, yeah, she's family. We're just going to wait around. She'll be back. She'll be back. We know we're great. So, okay. For you personally, what are some things that you have done intentionally to keep learning, to keep honing your professional development skills, like podcasts, blogs? Do you have your own little blogs? What you got going on?
I do not. That would be good. If the company would let me do that, that'd probably be good. No, I do listen to podcasts. We do have training summits that we go to for us. And then my team reads a book, you know, every so often, and we kind of do homework. I'm not a book reader, so I would much rather have podcasts that I can listen to for leadership development. But I try to just... I've been with McAllister so long that I've worked through so many issues and things that you just grow as the time goes, you know? So I just try to tell people my story as to that too. But a lot of leadership growth, like we have a catering summit coming up in August. So we'll spend a couple days there.
So for other business owners that are out there that are watching right now, and they're like, I need a Brooke. Mm-hmm. I need every...
Only one me, guys. Only one me.
We can't clone you, but they want to develop. They're like, I need every one of my employees to be a Brooke. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to keep retraining people. I don't want to have to keep doing this. What are some things that you think they can do to lead to that, to build them up?
I would say once you have your judgment and you're like, man, that one we can't lose, right? You better invest in them. You better just pull them to the side, have some one-on-one conversations. What are they doing in their life? You know, what can you do to help mentor them, you know, personally outside of work? Many times I've texted people where I'm like, man, she hasn't been at work in a couple of days. Like, so let's just text them and just say, hey, can I do anything for you? And some people might not open up, but eventually they will open up because you're the person checking on them, right? If they do something bad, don't scream at them in front of people, right? That's going to make people quit. Pull them to the side and just say, hey, we can't do that. You know, there's just a way to talk to people, you know, because I've been talked to not very nice either in front of people, and it's very embarrassing. Oh, yeah. And it tears you down, and that's all you think, right? Mm-hmm. So I always say, if you're going to give somebody criticism or direction, then give them some good things they're doing too, right? Maybe 3 good things, 1 bad thing. That's a really big piece that I've learned over the years. Like, hey, you did this. It's so funny because people are like, well, let Brooke have the conversation when they do something wrong. And I'm like, why? And they're like, because they won't quit after, you know, because I'm not going to make them cry, but they're not going to want to let me down again because, oh gosh, I let Brooke down. Like I made her look bad. We had an issue. Actually, I was on vacation recently, and one of my stores struggled with catering orders, right? And we made a really big client mad. We were late. We overslept with the catering order. It was a night delivery. And I had to have that conversation when I got back. You know, like, this is a big piece of business we're going to lose. Like, and she cried on me, and I didn't make her cry, but she cried because she didn't want to let me down. She knew, yeah. She thought I got in trouble, right? And so, of course, the client's great. She understood. But I was like, we can't do that. You know, it's a big piece of business. So just the way you talk to people, just talk to them out of respect, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my big thing, I think.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to bring more opportunities to our members and to our community. And this podcast is one of the many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't be able to do what we do without the support of our sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. They're the strategic tech partner that makes it possible for businesses to work smarter and not harder. Wisdom Integrators helps organizations harness that power of technology by designing tailored solutions for workflow, automation, process improvement, and digital transformation. For small businesses or large enterprises, they bridge the gap between the vision and the execution. Are you ready to scale up your efficiency and impact? Then you need to come and visit wisdomintegrators.com to schedule your consultation today. All right, so going back to, I guess, future development. So you have an employee, you mm-hmm. have another bougie Brooke mm-hmm. that's under your wing right now. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I want your job one day. Mm-hmm. Not in the whole, I'm going to take your job, but I want to do what you do. I want to be your succession plan. Mm-hmm. What recommendations and what things would you tell her to start working on and developing to make that successful?
So the biggest thing is I actually have one that would definitely want to take my job, and she's fantastic. She's young. So we got a little ways to go with the growth. But she is like under my wing right now, actually. She's doing a fantastic job. I think the communication piece is very big. A lot of people these days, right? It's all Facebook. It's you're in your phones 24/7. They're missing the personal piece and personal touch of building relationships. And it's quite eye-opening to take somebody out and do marketing sales, right? You're going into a company you don't know and talking to somebody about catering, right? It's like, you know, selling a car, that's hard, right? So it's the same thing. So when you go into somebody, you know, somewhere where I'm training this girl in particular, she is very tensed up. She's like, oh, well, I need a script. And I'm like, well, you don't need a script. Like, you just have to build off of what you get when you go in, right? I don't have a script when I go in. I might see something fun in the lobby that I talk about first, or your outfit is cute, you know, and it's very like building relationships. And so that's the biggest piece, people. And like, just don't understand, like, hey, you got to communicate, over communicate, build relationships, follow up. If somebody tells you they need to place a catering order and they're like, hey, in 3 days, like, don't be scared in 3 days to call them if they haven't placed the catering order. They probably forgot. They're busy. Mm-hmm. We're all busy. You know, we live on calendars and schedules. So I would say, like, communication, building relationships, and then speaking up for yourself. Like, a lot of times people within the company, they get real comfortable and they're scared to ask for a raise when they're doing a good job. Or they're scared to say, like, hey, did you see all this? Like, what can I do to earn a dollar more, Brooke? Give me the steps. And right now what we're doing is taking like 5 or 10 steps and we're just trimming them down. Like, hey, what are some things we're struggling on in this restaurant in particular? Whether it be follow-ups, whether it be cookie drops, not fake cookie drops, but cookie drops to people. What are the things we're working on? And so we write them on a piece of paper and maybe it's 5 things. And then the next week we talk about it and we're like, oh, well, we got 2 of these done. Okay, well, let's mark those off. Let's add 2 more. Like, what else? So we just keep growing and keep growing like that. So I think follow up and get to know your people. And yeah, I think that's big.
It's huge. And being mindful of looking for those opportunities of growth. Because if you don't sit back and evaluate it and find your spots where you're struggling, that's going to make the difference between having real substantial growth and then just saying I'm doing a great job, but ignoring the problem areas that can really shine a light in success.
And then being okay for people to raise their hand. Like, a lot of times they're kind of scared to say, like, hey, I'm not really good at this. I need some help. You know, they want you to think they're doing everything right all the time. And so a lot of times I'm like, but what are you struggling with? Because, like, nowadays I've grown up in McAllister's, right? But we've changed computer systems several times. Mm-hmm. So if I go into a busy McAllister's, I'm always the one to help because I've been with the company for so long. Even though I'm behind the scenes now, I still like to help. But they won't put me on a register because I'm terrible at a register now. I would take all the lines up and they would be like, Brooke, you have got to get off register. But I'm okay. I will tell you that's my weakness. You know, don't put me on a register. So I try to tell people that all the time. Like, I kind of tell them mine first. Like, hey, you know what? I stink at this. That's cool. What do you stink at? But maybe you're better at me than that. Well, tell me what you're doing. You know, let's work together to figure out how I get better at what you're great at. So I feel like that's a big piece of stuff too. People are just scared. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to tell you they messed up. Like, I'd rather them just be like, hey, I messed up. Let's fix it. How do we get better? Raise your hand and not be, you know, don't be one of those bosses that are just like, oh, nope. You know what? I'm taking you off schedule. Like, they're telling you, they're coming to you open saying like, hey, help me out. I'm not good at this. Right. Raise your hand, you know? So
that is a rare commodity. Mm-hmm. I know there are too many businesses, especially in a restaurant world or even in fast food or just in the food industry itself. If you can't perform, you're not going to get on the schedule. Yep. If you can't show up and deliver, it's going to be penalized in the one way that they can. You're not doing anything that's wrong and fireable, but you're also not going to get the hours if you can't keep the pace. So having that open communication is huge. Y'all should all go work at McAllister because
it's a great company.
That's incredible, though.
Yeah.
Because that goes beyond investing in the person, but a deeper level go, okay, yeah, I see you're having a mood, you're having a problem, but this is even more so, I see you're struggling in this area. And I'm not getting on to you, but I want to help you fix it.
Right. And if there's some people, I mean, that doesn't happen a lot, you know, sometimes yes, but there are some one-offs that they just come in and they just want a paycheck, right? They're late every day. They don't have dress code.
Yeah.
They don't, right? That's a different story. But if somebody's coming in and they're really trying, they're just invest time in them, you know, spend some time with them to try to get them better before we just kind of say, all right, throw my hands up. Because you don't ever know, you know. There's been a couple of times where one person would come in late all the time, all the time, all the time. Well, once the GM had a sit down conversation, it was, he was taking care of his sister. His mom had to go back to work, going through a divorce. She's a single mom. Well, yeah, he's late. He's got to take his sister to school. Like, but we didn't, nobody knew that, right? It was just, yeah, you're late. He didn't want to say anything. He didn't want to lose his job, but like, let's talk. And okay, well, you know what? You come in a little later then. You go do that. We'll figure it out. We'll see you at that. And now he's still with the company. Like, you just, you got to get to know your people and figure out what you can do for them. And they're going to do for you the same. So.
What is something you do with, so the ones that are more high performers that you know have serious ambition and to the point that they're exhausting some days. Mm-hmm. How do you keep high performers engaged and excited and with the company?
I think giving them new challenges, because I feel like some of them might be get a little bored with doing the same thing every time. So actually, I just had one of the girls from the South Haven store do a video shoot with me. And she got to be on a live Zoom that we did. And we showed her and my video footage of just taking care of guests, what we do every day. And she got to show that for 168 stores. And she was on the spotlight. So I got to have her be on, and she was so excited. You know, I was like, well, we got to do a couple takes, video shoots, you know. And she was like, video shoots, you know, a little nervous. But then she was like, man, I'm going to be on video shoot with 168 stores, you know. But that motivated her. But then she's like, okay, what's next? What do I get to do now? Because I gave her a little piece of ownership. It's not just me. I can't do it by myself. You got to have other people help you. So giving them a little piece of ownership, or like, hey, you know what? Do you want to do this for me today? And they're like, yeah. Like, don't give everybody your work, but give them a little piece of a buy-in and they're going to stay around. They're going to want to know what, how do I get to your level? So, and the video shoot was great and everybody was talking about it. And of course I gave her a live shout out, on my presentation for doing it for me. And now she's like, what's next? What are we doing next? You know, so.
That's incredible. I love that so much because I see that a lot, especially when I, like, if I'm asking somebody to come and be a guest on the podcast, their immediate reaction is, what? Yeah. And then you get them in here and you set them down and 5 minutes in and they're just alive and just running the thing. And it's fabulous. Yeah. Just jump out and do the scary thing.
Yep.
And the that's worst so
you
awesome.
Can be told is always what I tell people. Like, they're like, Brooke, I don't, you know, I don't think I can go out and sell like you do. Like, you just, I don't, I'm not bubbly. I'm not, you know, cheery. And I'm like, you have your own way of doing it, right? You don't have to be Brooke's way. Do it your way. But when you go out and do that, like, just build your confidence, because the worst they can tell you is no. And I always say, and if they tell you no, it's just no right now, right? We can come back. Let's revisit it in 3 months. They might need something. But if they tell you no, that's fine. Have a great day. No for now. They're going to remember, right? They're going to remember your face. They're going to remember you came by and dropped a cookie off. We just did some thank you gifts, actually, for everybody that's ordered over 20 times from January to like June. We made special gift bags and we put some VIP cards in, and I and my catering coordinators dropped them personally off to them. They weren't expecting that. That was a little thank you. Just, I wrote on my hand, thank you card, and just said, thank you for ordering from me directly. And that goes a long way, right? I've already gotten emails back about them. Like, you didn't have to do that. I got back from vacation. This was on my desk. So like, people remember those things. Like, just build relationships with people.
Absolutely. That handwritten thank you card
goes a long way. Not a typed email.
No, no, no.
Handwrite it and deliver it. And that goes a long way.
Yes. It's huge. Mm-hmm. Huge. Now, as far as the, you were going back to you talking about the worst they can say is no. Mm-hmm. Wanted to share something that I actually learned on one of my podcast interviews. We had a guy on here and he was talking about that and the struggle, and he was terrified being told no, and he was mentoring somebody else, and he was like, you know what? Let's go be told no. Let's go out and get 100 no's. I dare you to get 100 no's. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I go from that mindset now. That's fine. Tell me no. And I'm going to move on to the next one. Let's see how many yeses you get in between all of those no's. Mm-hmm. He goes, so that's the way I look at it. And be like, I'm going to go out and get 100 no's today. And he ends up with a book full of business because of all the ones that didn't say no.
Yeah.
But he approaches it not being scared of that word. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm not going to be scared of that word. That word is not going to control me. Or my hustle.
Right. I think the sales part is, it's scary. Like, you being in the sales world of anything is scary because you don't want to be told no, right? Some people's jobs rely on how much business you do for sales. So I think that's the biggest thing, but you got to try. Now, if you're not trying and you're not getting out and you're not doing things, then you're not going to see the numbers. But if you're out doing it, even if it's no, in 2 and 3 months, they're going to be yeses. They're going to be like, you know what? We need a catering need now. Let's call Brooke because remember she dropped this menu off, you know? So people just remember things like they remember the personal things too. Like I had one of my clients that have been off for a little while and I haven't heard from her. And so I sent a little text check in. And she was like, wow, I'm going through some stuff at home, but like, that's like my caterer just texted me. Right. And so now when she comes back to work, she's going to remember that. And I didn't do that because of that. I just did that because I genuinely miss our conversations. Like some of my clients, they text me. They know they can just shoot me a text and I'll take care of it. They want to call me because they're having a bad day. And they're like, oh, let me call Little Mississippi Brooke is what a lot of people call me. So because my accent, I know I'm very country. But I have some people do that and they're like, I just want to hear you talk today to make my day better, you know? And so I'm like, I'm glad I could do that for you.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I'm right there with you with the country accent. I have embraced it. It's just who I am. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and being a guest on our podcast. Yeah, this has been Way Spiff. I do want to ask you one tiny little follow-up that I ask everybody that comes on as a guest on the podcast. Just because, you know, it's a shameless plug for the chamber, but you've been a member of the chamber for quite some time. Mm-hmm. You've been around for a good long minute with the chamber fam. What is something that really stands out to you that has been of value to you as a leader?
So I think just relationships that y'all build with your people. I've been saying the same thing. That's a big piece. You know, like if you haven't heard from me in a while, I know a lot of you guys will send an email, or if I'm out at a chamber, you guys always speak. There's not I work for the chamber and y'all have tons of members, right? But you remember names, you remember where they work, you remember their face. I've had a couple of people, like I know Debbie, she helps me a lot too. She'll be like, hey, I got this hookup for you, or here's a referral. Like referrals are big, and people will text and be like, hey, so-and-so from the chamber sent me your way. And I'm like, wow. Thank you. Like, and if I can't get in somewhere, I ask and y'all figure it out for me.
Debbie knows everybody.
Yeah. And so that's nice. You know, like, you want that in a chamber. You want to be able to them ask you like, what do you need from us? You know, and the same. So I think relationships, y'all do a great job on just being personal and figuring out relationships with people.
Awesome. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're here to do. And so keeping the pulse and the heartbeat on that, knowing that we are still
you guys got it.
Doing what we're supposed to do. All right. Cool beans. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of South Haven Business Beat and learning all about leadership development. You need to go out and turn all of your employees into Brooks. So y'all have a great day. Don't miss a single episode. If you haven't done so, hit that subscribe button down at the bottom so that you are notified every time I drop a new podcast. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources.